ChristianAcademy.com.
This is Carl Munson of FirstRadio.com. It's one thing to be in the kitchen at parties, but I'm actually in the kitchen on a workshop today with Bridget Belgrave, who is a facilitator and writer of NVC, Nonviolent Communication. And at the front of the workshop hall was a lovely sign which asked 8 questions, starting with, would you like to? Would you like to be honest without insulting people? Would you like to be heard to your complete satisfaction? Would you like to handle conflict with confidence? Would you like to transform anger into positive communication? Or would you like to never hear blame or criticism again? Would you like to inspire willing cooperation? Would you like to deepen your good relationships? And would you like to enjoy people? The last one, last but not least. And who in their right mind wouldn't want to do all of those things? I'm hoping to have a chat with Bridget and find out a little bit more about non-violent communication. So stay tuned for that. Hi there, Bridget. Thank you for a lovely day.
Hi, thanks for coming all this way from Exeter.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's been a wonderful day. And if I may, I'll try and put the model that we were working with into practice to couch my question, if you like.
Sure, that's fine.
Right, so it looks to me like NVC, and perhaps we could go into an entry-level description of what NVC is in a moment, but mm-hmm. I've noticed today that we're working with, I think somebody called them the four ingredients.
Yes. Right.
We've got observation, feeling, need and request mm-hmm. as a new way of communicating with people. Mm-hmm. And since I've known about NVC, I've been a bit uncomfortable, or maybe haven't made a very good job of communicating what NVC is. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to attempt to use the model now.
Okay.
Right. So my observation is that we've been here today in Oxford, in a community hall with about 40 people, and we've been through the basic model and looked at the NVC dance floor. Mm-hmm. My feeling is I'm very excited, mm-hmm. a little bit tired. It's mm-hmm. been a very intense and busy day, but I'm more excited about NVC than I've ever been, and it's been great to be here. My need, I think, and perhaps this kind of combines with my request of you, is how to be able to enroll people in NVC or talk to people about NVC without them getting upset, challenged. And this is a disclosure of mine, if you like. In my
yes.
efforts to speak
like
to other people about it, it's gone horribly wrong.
Aha. It sounds like right now you're inspired, and it makes you kind of, again, you want to find ways to spread the word, to tell people about it, and remembering some things that you've done before.
Absolutely.
You're nervous about that, or cautious.
Yes.
And looking for some advice, is that right?
It is, and I've had some discomfort around the name. When I begin to tell people about non-violent communication, mm-hmm. they all, I don't know, it may be the way I put it, but they say, yeah, you know, but I'm not violent in my communication. It does tend to rub people up the wrong way, that the inference is that, you know, people get a bit defensive. When you say, oh, I'm interested in this new thing, you know, you might be interested in it, it's non-violent communication. And immediately people think, well, I'm not violent. I don't hit people when I'm talking to them.
Well, what I say to people at the supermarket checkout or at a party or something is, I work with a way of communicating that helps people not judge and blame each other. And they nearly always say, oh, we need more of that around here.
That's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah, so I am.
Could you say that again?
Yes. It's a... finding a way to communicate where you're not judging and blaming each other.
Right.
So in other words, saying something that people are already aware of that's in their life, it's not like huge, but they like go, oh yeah, I recognize that. And so if they then get more interested and we have a conversation at some point, they might say, oh, what's this work called or where's it based on?
Yes.
And so I would introduce the title Nonviolent Communication after they're interested, because, like you, I'm concerned that people discover what this work really does, and sometimes the title kind of covers over for them the potential of this work for them as individuals, as peace-loving, you know,
yeah.
creative people who care about the planet. They might not immediately associate themselves with needing work that's called nonviolent communication.
So if, I guess another way of looking at this would be to use the model again and look at communicating it in a way that meets people's needs. And the
yes.
way you did it absolutely does that.
Mm-hmm.
The way I've done it may have met my need
yes.
to tell them about it, but not in a way that speaks into their need.
So something about, yes, when you're talking about meeting your own each other about it, you're so full of enthusiasm and like trying to find a strategy to share. A strategy is the request step or the strategy, the action you take that will go towards fulfilling your need.
Mm-hmm.
And your need is to share things that you really value.
Yes.
Because in the need step of nonviolent communication, we're looking at something that's universal. So sharing something you really value has that universality to it. That's why I'm shifting that from what you said about sharing NVC, which is a little more specific.
Yeah.
Of course, in real life, people want to sound authentic and normal, in quotes, and want to sound like their subculture, to feel so that their needs for inclusion and acceptance and belonging are still met, even when they've learned a process like this. So although I was flagging up just then, you know, the universality of the need that you're trying to meet is to share things you really mind about or things you think would make a difference and contribute to sustainability or to peace or whatever. When I'm speaking nonviolent communication, this might be another tip when you're spreading it.
I'm ready.
I almost never use the word need when I'm out there in real life. So I would rather say I really enjoy spreading things.
Mm.
Or it means a lot to me to spread things that I value.
Yeah.
Because it just rings truer for me than using the phrase I need to spread things.
Yeah.
The need is really a kind of pointer. We're using the word need is just a pointer to those qualities that matter to us.
Yes.
And I feel more comfortable if people learning nonviolent communication find other ways when they're talking about these important qualities to phrase that.
Because I noticed you
inspire people, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned before that sometimes referred to as compassionate communication or even effective communication.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I'm gradually one discovers, like I did learn through this, it made me a lot more conscious of what I was doing in my own communication that was not effective,
yeah.
and it gave me some choices that I didn't have before.
Right.
How to be more effective. I was well aware some things weren't effective, like losing my temper with my son. Wasn't effective. I was unhappy about it. And even with a lot of personal development work, I found that hard to change.
Mm.
But here, I was given something else to do instead, so my energy could go in a direction that would be constructive. And I was really struck what a difference that made.
I get a great sense of that as well, and that's why I think I'm so excited and inspired about it, is that you have a new option.
Yes.
And the word that was used today is enriching, isn't it?
Mm.
That this can actually, there's no need to feel bad or wrong for not practicing this right. But when it does go well, it enriches things for all concerned.
Yeah.
And that's a very sort of compelling and engaging, way of looking at it.
And another thing I like is the new option is learnable and it is doable. It's like within range.
Yeah.
Because if we use, you know, anger, temper, for example, because I mentioned that already, I used to read in books, you know, just drop your anger.
Mm.
And I never really discovered how to do that, to be honest.
In the way that people say, just relax.
Yeah. So here, it says, focus your attention this way. Focus on what happened. Focus on how you're feeling right now. Focus on your present need, what's really important in this situation, and the other person's present need. And then work out a strategy that will go towards meeting that need, and then when you make the request, you communicate about that strategy, a possible strategy that might meet that need. And it sounds really simple to put it like that, but in a moment of heat, the map is simple enough to use, and that's part of the power.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing you said today was it's a bit like learning a foreign language.
Yes.
And there's the immediate benefit, isn't there, of knowing a few words and phrases that can really, if you're abroad, if people know you're making an effort to speak their language, it can be wonderful, can't it, that you've tried to order some beers or a bed for the night and they're delighted that you've bothered to learn their language.
Yes.
But at the other end, there's the benefit of becoming really fluent in that language and really immersing yourself in the culture. And it just seems to me that with NVC, you can get some of those quick benefits by just having a quick think about how you communicate. And then you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it.
Mm.
And can you say something about the work that's going on around the world to do with how deep this work's going?
Yeah, I'm so moved, really, when I think of what has happened even in the last 11, 12 years that I've been involved in nonviolent communication. A couple of people here today were asking me about cross-cultural communication, and there was one woman here from Yugoslavia, so I was remembering my friend who is an NVC trainer living in Belgrade, and just before NATO started bombing in Kosovo, she was going down to the capital there, Pristina, and mediating between Serbs and Albanians. And she wrote me emails about this, how in the first hour they would literally run out of the room shouting at each other and calling each other names. And within 2 hours they'd be talking to each other. And by the end of the day they'd be like in tears and offering to help rebuild each other's houses. And she did a lot of mediation in those extremely painful contexts in Bosnia and Croatia and Serbia and Kosovo. That was quite, you know, more in the news some years ago, but the level of pain in those places continues.
Yeah.
And unless people work at that level, there's really no other solution in the long term. So I got so many I could think of to tell you what's happening now. Would you like to hear more?
Sure, yes, please, yeah.
So I'll say something about the UK, because it's easy somehow to get drawn to the things in other countries and forget to mention what's happening here. I'm very touched by work that's been going on where in various education authorities, the behaviour support teachers have been hearing about NVC and having training. Some authorities are particularly interested and really trained a lot of people.
Would this be working in schools?
In schools.
Right.
Behaviour support teachers are like specialists who help the young people who are finding a struggle to kind of go along with what's happening in the classroom one way or another. And with the added communication support of nonviolent communication, they're finding that this is a way that enables them to do what they're intending to do, but they didn't really have the language for very often.
Yep.
To kind of meet and respect the other person in a way that both helps them settle down. But that's not your objective. Your objective is to really honour what's going on for that person in a way that they feel like they matter and that their needs are considered in the context of a school. And so I'm very touched at the, for both the individual young people who are supported like that, but also when you think of a sort of a generation that's learning how to make this transition from just acting out anger and
I mean, there just seems to be more and more of that, doesn't there, on the one hand.
Yes.
And it's so good that there is this growing understanding that people have very individual. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, because they're universal and individual needs, aren't they? They're universal needs felt on an individual level.
Exactly.
Which then help that person, like in this situation, a young person, relate better to their schoolwork. It really baffles me that this, it is effectively very simple, isn't it, that the whole business of understanding people's basic needs and then relating to them from that place.
It sounds simple, it's very difficult to do.
And but politically, socially, culturally, we seem to be moving away from that understanding, or we're forgetting about it. We've got an amnesia about it, it seems, that, you know, we're being told what our needs are by the media, for example. And it just seems to me that it seems to be a growing rebellion among younger people that how they're understood or misunderstood, it doesn't fit with them. And they are, as you say, did you say acting out or acting up as a result of not being understood?
Right.
I mean, would you agree with that? Do you think that there is this massive mismatch between what people are actually feeling and needing and what our society gives them?
That's such a big question.
I think I'll just say yes
right now. I'll say yes.
Okay.
I'll say yes based on the huge percentage of people who are on antidepressants.
Yeah, right.
For example.
Yeah.
I'll say yes based on some young, you know, individual people I know who've grown up through the school system. Of course there are people in these structures whose needs are met, and of course there are people who are doing their best to provide need-meeting environments, you know, teachers, head teachers, education specialists, whatever, since we're talking about education system again now for a moment. I think there is a paradigm shift, though, that when people really get it, that when someone's behaving in a way you don't like, it's because they're troubled by a need of theirs they're finding hard to meet at that moment, either because of your presence making it harder for them, or their structure they're having to exist in, like a child in a school system, or somebody in a workplace. If it's hard for someone to meet their needs, they're very likely to behave in a way that you don't like.
Yeah.
And we tend to then label people as something wrong with them, which takes us further away from empathy.
Yes.
And takes that person probably further into their behaviour that's uncomfortable for us.
Mm.
So I do see that happening a lot and feel very sad about it. At the same time, because of the work I do, I'm in touch with so many people who are working in the other direction that I don't really have a clear vision of which is growing faster.
Yeah.
But I am aware all over the world there are people really drawn to this sense of, aha, this makes a lot of sense to focus on.
Yeah.
You know, what are these... What, that someone is never wrong, that they're always doing their best to meet a need. We might not like their action, we might not like their strategy to meet their needs, but if we can understand their needs, then we've got some room to influence what strategies they choose, and also to respect and support them about finding a way to meet the need that works for others in their environment.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful about that. I think there's actually like an expansive or expanding awareness going on that hopefully will have some room for that. And evidence for me, if you like, is connected with the name. Although I found it a bit clumsy, and I've explained before about, you know, when I've talked to people about non-violent communication, clearly the roots are in the work of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. And it seems that, you know, their interest in their message hasn't gone away. And on a grassroots level, people in growing numbers are inspired by non-violence, or looking at non-destructive ways to live together and to live according to their dreams, visions, and passions.